This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, 12:34 the time. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, my friend, the Broncos are 11-2. You said it last week. Like, I think you said, are they good? Do we feel better, worse, about the same about that question? You know, are the Broncos a pretty darn good football team, or is it? Is it what a lot of national people still kind of say is we're still waiting to see them beat a team like the Packers this weekend?
Well, I think the truth is in the middle. They're obviously not a bad football team. They've, you know, I mean, they've won 11 games. So I think you get a better feeling after each win. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we are still left kind of wondering, is this football team any good? What is the playoff prognosis? What are the, you know, how deep a run can they make? That kind of stuff. The Packers are interesting because, you know, they present a problem that I don't think the Broncos have had yet. They played some decent offenses with some decent receivers, but this team has more speed than the Broncos have seen all year, and that's going to be interesting. You got Christian Watson, Reed, Wicks. They got plenty, Golden. They got plenty of guys who have plenty of speed, and they keep rotating them through. And then, oh, by the way, potentially Josh Jacobs. We'll see. Who has been a thorn in the Broncos side dating back to his time with the Raiders. So this is an interesting challenge. They're a good defensive team, good offensive team, and they're just hitting their stride. It'll be a tough challenge.
Well, and you know, outside of Josh Jacobs, everybody you mentioned, this is kind of my takeaway with the Packers for Jordan Love. Like, he spreads the football around. There's not like necessarily that one guy that we've seen. You know, the Broncos go up last week, you got Bowers. We've seen maybe one or two guys where it's like, okay, these are big focal points. But the Packers, in credit to Jordan Love, man, I mean, he uses all of his receivers and tight ends.
Well, yeah, a little bit of Bo next to him, right? You know, they look to spread the ball around. There's nobody that's kind of the guy. And, you know, that means that the teams can't focus in on taking away any one thing from you because, you know, you're multidimensional. And so, you know, it's a staple of the LaFleur offense. I think that's, you know, good for them. But, you know, the flip side of that is it's tougher to defend. It's tougher to come up with game plans for that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think it'll be fascinating. I just, you know, my main concern again is the speed on the outside. They just have a lot of it, and that's, you know, that tends to present a problem for man defenses, which the Broncos mostly do.
What are you hearing about Josh Jacobs? Obviously, he's listed as questionable, but what are your sources surrounding this guy looking like as far as playing Sunday?
Well, the only two things, you know, with him, it's a true game time decision. We don't know yet. Pat Bryant's going to be out for us. That's 100%. But on the flip side of that, you know, with them, we don't know with Josh Jacobs yet. And I think they want him to go if he can. I think it's just a question of seeing if he's able to. If not, it's not exactly a huge drop off to, you know, to his replacement there at Emmanuel Wilson. So, you know, wishing for Josh Jacobs not to be available, you might be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah. Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. This offense, again, for Green Bay, we talked about it, but just how good they are on third down, too. And obviously, we know how good on third down the Broncos defense is. So something's going to give here, man. It's like the Clash of the Titans coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it really kind of is. I mean, Broncos obviously a home dog, you know, which should tell something about how people view Green Bay, despite their, you know, their 9-win record at this point. And you know, I think this is one of those ones that could be a legacy cementer in terms of where this team is. You know, you win this game, and I think the sky's the limit. I think this is the toughest game, if we're being honest, left on the schedule. You know, Kansas City in Arrowhead on a short week, when you add those factors in, maybe a little tougher. But if you look at just on paper, putting two teams head to head, I think they're tougher than Jacksonville, Kansas City, or the Chargers. So I think that this really is kind of sort of a legacy builder for this young team.
This is kind of the one, not that you want to lose any games, but if the Broncos were to lose one out of these final few games, this would be the one, I suppose. Looking at the AFC race between the Broncos and the Patriots, losing an NFC game would be the one to lose, But then again, you're trying to just prove, I think, at this point that you are as good as that record indicates.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think from a the playoff race math, you know, this would be the one to lose. I honestly think the Kansas City game is the one. Like, just dump it. Don't risk injury. Just play your backups on Christmas, kind of the way Kansas City did to you, you know, last year. You know, and get everything ready for the Chargers and all that kind of stuff. I think you got to come out and make a statement. I think you come out and you've served notice. Hey, we've arrived. This isn't just taking the division. This is taking the league, and this is an opportunity to put an exclamation point on it.
Benjamin, what sticks out to you? Obviously, Micah Parsons on the defensive side for the Packers, they get sacks. It just the games I've watched and just looking at this team, it's not as consistent of a pass rush as what the Broncos, because even if the Broncos aren't getting sacks, they're putting pressure on the quarterback, they're feeling it. It does kind of seem like with the Packers, it's all or nothing on the defensive side.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Rashawn Gary started the season so hot, and then he's just fallen off a cliff. Matter of fact, he's basically, I don't want to say he's been benched, but he's splitting reps with Kingsley Mbare now, and so he's not even like a full-fledged starter over there. So kind of interesting to see what happened there. Parsons is still getting his. That defense is mostly zone. It's not like a man defense like the Broncos. It's mostly zone, so they don't want to blitz you too much. They just want to send what they can and go from there. And I think that's it. I think when they find guys they can get home on, they do, and when they don't, they don't. And that's to their detriment because you can sort of pick it apart at that point.
All right, I've got several kind of around the league questions for you, but before we get there, how you feeling? Broncos or dogs at home in this game, Benjamin? Talk to me, man. How's it going down?
I think of the final four games, I think this is the most likely one the Broncos would lose. So I'm gonna leave it at that as far as that kind of stuff goes. My confidence level is a little bit lower for this one than it is for the others.
All right, bummer. But again, if you can still take care of the rest of the AFC games on your schedule, we're talking playoffs already, so it's exciting, and this could be a battle for sure. Philip Rivers, is this a real thing, Benjamin? I mean, are we really going to see Philip Rivers start at quarterback for the Colts?
I don't know if he's going to get the first snap, but he will definitely play on Sunday. This is a real thing. The last time something like this happened would have been Steve DeBerg, I believe, in that 1999 season. DeBerg had been out of the league for 5 years. He came back at 44 years old to fill in for the Falcons. So that would be the closest I could imagine. Now, the Falcons weren't exactly in the thick of a playoff race or anything like that, but they'd just been through four or five quarterbacks, I think it was, and they just out of bodies and needed to finish out a season. So that's the closest thing I can think of. You know, I mean, Rivers obviously be the second NFL player to be a grandfather while playing.
Wow.
Brett Favre was the inaugural role on that. So we'll see. I will say Rivers knows this offense. I mean, it's the offense he was running as a high school coach down there in Alabama, so he knows the offense. The question is, can he execute? And that remains to be seen.
I mean, how do you view this story? Like, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, odds are maybe not good, but man, the story is so fascinating. This is a Disney movie waiting to happen, Benjamin.
I think they already did this with baseball, didn't they? With Dennis Quaid and the rookie.
Yeah,
I mean, can Quaid just strap some pads back on, resurrect his character from any given Sunday, and go back out there? You know, Cap needs one more run. As far as that kind of stuff goes, I think it is, and I think it's also fun. I think it's one of those things, like, everybody's rooting for him. You know, Philip Rivers was known as one of the consummate smack talkers when he played. It was all clean, doesn't cuss, but one of the most consummate smack talkers in the league. And everybody who played against him, guys that played against him, are lining up to root for him in this endeavor, which sort of says something about, you know, who he was as a player, who he is as a player. And I think there's something to, you know, everybody sitting on the couch thinking about, if I could just lace him up one more time, you know, kind of thing. I think there's an element of that. So I think there's sort of a rooting for underdog story here that, you know, I think everybody's rooting for it except for maybe, you know, Colts opponents.
Yeah. Is Philip Rivers, like, as we stand today, a Hall of Famer?
Well, he should be. He's in the top six all time in passing yardage, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. If you're going to put guys like Roethlisberger, who, by the way, he can pass, repass in terms of overall passing yardage, if he gets, I think, 700 yards, maybe 800, I have to go back and look. You know, if you're going to put guys like Roethlisberger, Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, Rivers blows them away in terms of statistical accomplishment. He just didn't have as good of teams and as good of luck and make it to the Super Bowl because he was trapped in a division that had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady most of his career, or his whole career, really. So, you know, I think, yes, to make a short story long, he would be a Hall of Famer to me.
I'm really interested in this story. It's cool. Is Vance Joseph going to be a head coach next season, Benjamin?
I believe he will.
To the Giants? Is that what you're hearing?
that's one of the teams that would be in play. If Cincinnati fires their head coach, he'd be in play there. If Miami fires their head coach, he'd be in play there. If Arizona, which I don't believe they will, but if Arizona fires their head coach, he could be in play there. He's going to get looks, and I believe he will be a head coach. It's just a question of where it's going to be. I kind of like the idea of you know, him and Davis Webb up there in New York. Webb, of course, played quarterback in New York. He played for Brian Daboll. He knows Brian Daboll's system, and so the transition to what he wants to run from a system he knows and Jackson Dart already knows would be a great fit.
Yeah, that would be – well, good for Vance Joseph, though, man. I mean, what a crazy story for him. You know, being fired by the Broncos, a lot of fans were really happy to see him leave. Then he comes back as a defensive coordinator, still has his ups and downs. That Miami game was awful, and survives. And now look what's happened. The last 2 years, they've had arguably the best defense. What a story by surrounding Vance Joseph.
Yeah, and there's sort of a symmetry there, too, because you think about it, his mentor, the guy who was his mentor, is Wade Phillips. And Wade Phillips sort of had the same thing, too, as head coach of the Broncos. People were glad that they moved on. And then, you know, he comes back as a defensive coordinator. They win the Super Bowl and all that. And there's sort of like a little bit of symmetry there between mentor and mentee.
Yeah, I love it. Is Joe Burrow okay? I mean, he sounded pretty down in the dumps yesterday, man.
Yeah, I think that press conference up to some Simon and Garfunkel, man. Like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Joe Burrow, he said, I was like, are you going to pull the Andy Luck here and just bounce, dude? Or, I don't know if it's something personal going on or what, but he's clearly in his head and not having fun anymore. I think part of that's the organization he's with. But that organization's catered to him. They paid him. They paid the receivers. They gutted the defense in order to pay the guys that he wanted to pay. And, you know, now you're seeing, hey, look, you know, you're losing games. You're scoring 30 points a game, still losing games. Like, you know, you got to have a defense in the NFL. So I think that, you know, as much as I like Zach Taylor, I think he's done a good job with what he's had in Cincinnati. I think you got to let him go, bring a defensive guy in like a Vance Joseph that can build a defense up while they've got a pre-built offense and try to take advantage of the window that's left for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Benjamin Albright, love kind of going around the league with you, my friend. On the college side, I saw a lot of your posts on the Michigan stuff too, man. What a crazy story. That one, as we get more information, just gets a little stranger with every post, with every story.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for the wife and kids there. I mean, those three daughters of his didn't ask for any of this, and that's going to follow him forever. The wife, that's going to follow her forever. And, you know, the stain of these kinds of things, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, the stain of those kinds of things from men not thinking and doing dumb stuff, you know, it can have a wide-ranging fallout. In Moore's case, the actions afterwards are even worse, allegedly breaking into her place and threatening to take his own life. I would be surprised at this point if he ever coaches again.
How about her too? I mean, will she work in college football again? I'm curious about that too, because obviously this was, the relationship was against the rules.
Yeah, her dad's a scout for the Bears. I don't know. I assume he'll find her a landing spot as far as that goes, but certainly college football will be tough. Maybe, you know, maybe some kind of pro, you know, type of assistant gig. But my sympathy for her is significantly less. Is, you know, she knew what she was getting into when she got into that situation, and she willingly got into that situation. So my sympathy for her is significantly lessened.
Yeah, it's a wild story too, man. There's so many crazy things surrounding college football, and then you get this story. Certainly not great for Michigan, for the NCAA. Benjamin, always appreciate you, man. I hope you're wrong, but I don't know. I'm doing my picks later. I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this game too, man. So I don't know. I may go with you on this. I'm not sure yet.
We'll see. I'll keep the reverse jinx streak alive and continue to pick against the Broncos in my weekly picks just to keep the reverse jinx streak alive. We'll see if it has the staying power to beat the Green Bay Packers this week.
We all have our part to play, and you play it beautifully.
Yes.
We'll catch up with you next Friday, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. He likes the Packers to win, Mike. He likes the Packers to win.
I'm going to disagree with him on that one.
What? Really? You think the Broncos are going to win?
I believe the Broncos to win.
No. 48 minutes after the hour. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up, man. Dancing with himself. He's got a fresh mullet. Fresh do. Ready for the show today. I'm excited about that.
You know, he's dancing with himself or dancing in the streets, but when he's around you guys, he's dancing with the stars.
That was pretty good, Mike. Wow, that was good. Well done,
buddy. Is it because
buddy.
I called you a star?
Yes, 100%. I was waiting to make fun of you for that until you said stars. That'll do. That'll do, Mike. We'll be right back.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.